Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Welcome to A Diary of a Daddy-o. We're on episode 7. I'm joined by John Lunley, the owner of Gymfluencers. I'm going to hand you over to John now to give a little bit of a backstory about himself, his work life and family life. So over to you, mate.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on. So a very quick rundown of it all. I launched Gymfluencers.com a few years ago. I walked away from a pretty decent career in online gambling as a previous kind of management marketing role of various companies in that world, because it was fairly toxic. It was at the same time I met my now fiance and soon to be stepdaughter. So I thought, time to start something new and good. So Gymfluencers.com is a free to use health and fitness website where anybody can use it and get value completely free. No logins required. Go on there, news, reviews, discount codes, free gym passes, online coach profiles, macro calculators and everything in between. From there, we launched it in 11 different countries. We launched Gymfluencers.agency, which is influencer marketing. From there, we've launched a few other things, and that's pretty much the rundown. So yeah, in terms of family life, a fiance and a now.
Wow, so a big change from the online gambling sort of world. What was toxic about it that sort of made you want to step away from it, other than just the fact that it's quite a controversial topic?
Yeah, I mean, it was one thing I got into a long time ago. And the world was very different when it was kind of happening. I was probably very different. It's a very take kind of world. You are essentially, as a marketing person in that world, trying to get people to lose as much money as possible. And no one in that world now will admit that, but revenue is money and profit is money, and that comes from people losing, obviously. So not a fun world to be in. Quite malicious, quite a lot of nasty people in it. And yeah, it is like compete, kill. So wasn't for me, and I knew it wasn't for me for 6 years, you know, like into it. And then it just, you kind of get trapped in the world and careers and, you know, what nice things come with it. But yeah, luckily when I was, 31, finally, well, maybe 32.
So what made you go down the route of creating that free to use Gymfluencers like website, and how did you sort of come to terms with the fact that you're going to make a free to use platform that, in terms of like supporting yourself with a wage? I know you said it was a cushy, like well paid situation you were in. How did you make that decision to go, I'm going to make something for free, not necessarily be paid from it? I'm happy with that scenario for the time being, because it's a big step to make.
Yeah, it was a crazy one. So I used to be 30 stone, and then during the end of that old career, I was very lucky that I lost 15 stone in a year, training with a personal trainer every night, going to a local gym. I had to kind of overcome a lot of fears and issues with that. When you're 30 stone, you are not, well, I was not a happy-go-lucky, confident person who could strut into a gym. So, for instance, I rang every single personal trainer and said, who will train me at 9 p.m. at night when the gym's closed? Because I don't want to walk into a gym. Luckily, I found one called Sarah. She saved my life. We trained every day. And that includes New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I was there, Christmas Day, everything. We were as committed as each other. And whilst I was doing that, I could see personal trainers weren't busy. I could see gyms were dying, especially this was coming out of COVID. And, you know, obviously after I lost that, like COVID happened pretty quickly. The messaging out there was tough. I mean, I was Googling, I've had a heart issue, I'm obese, can I use energy drinks? Should I use pre-workout? What is a stack? You know, what a fat, you know, like there was not enough like real information, I felt, more just selling. So I thought, what if I just had a place where everything was on there and it was super accessible, super easy? And the free-to-use thing, obviously I knew it was going to take years to make money. I said probably okay. 4 months ago it started to make profit, you know, 3 years in. So it took a long time to recoup and kind of now actually make money. But it was a long-term plan, and it was one I was... I don't know, confident, if that's the word, or, you know, naive or stupid. I just kind of thought, well, if I can give one day, this might get it back. And, you know, we've never paid for an ad. We've never paid for a keyword. In the last 30 days, we had 330,000 people in the UK on the UK website. And that obviously generates income for me through affiliation tendencies and whatnot. But the main thing is the brands who we work with, the people we work with, the person gets information, saves money, the brand gets a customer, we get a tiny little piece of it. So everyone kind of wins. And yeah, I launched that in 11 further countries. So if you're in Japan searching for a local gym, you're not going to go on the UK website. You'll be taken to the Japan-only one, and Australia and Singapore and Dubai, they've all got one. So it was just kind of building and go.
Amazing. So at the moment, I'm assuming you're sat at home, right, in your home office.
I only believe in working from home. I do not own an office. There is nothing swanky about my business environment. I've worked from home since I was 15. Mm-hmm. Not a fan of office environments. And I also absolutely love the fact there is no cap on who I can kind of work with. Mm-hmm. I've got people who work in the UK, whether they're Devon or Scotland or middle of the country where I am. I've got people in Vietnam, Nigeria, Australia, and it's not because of money or anything, it's they're the best. They're people I've met along the way who might have done a bit of graphic design work, and I got to say, actually, I'll just hire you, like, come on full time. And yeah,
so how big is your current team, like, now 4 or 5 years into building the group of businesses that you've got?
Yeah, fairly small. I mean, with writers, developers, graphic designers, and everything, 12. Yeah, not an awful lot. It used to be a lot more because it was a lot of subcontractors. I think it was like 35 to 40 at one point, but one of them might have literally been getting paid $100 for like a one-off task. But there was lots of people needed, like a mailer creator or whatever. But then what I did is, obviously working with them in that level, I just thought, well, I know I need them to be quicker, better, and concentrate on me. So I just made them all offers, and the ones who really liked it said yes. And it's really great. I mean, I've recently said, a random hire for me was a graphic designer. I've hired a graphic designer before I've hired a salesperson, which sounds crazy, especially because of the agency side. But that graphic designer has, like I said, all the websites, the agencies, the news sites. Having that person there is just, it's the best hire I've ever made. So yeah, it's just really kind of building up from zero and scaling back from subcontractors.
So,
in
obviously,
a weird way. Like,
owning so many sort of businesses, the agency, and then sort of coming into a family scenario now with your stepdaughter who's 13, you said, didn't you? 14. How do you sort of balance 14. Building such an aggressively, like, growing business while sort of trying to make sure you have some time for yourself and your family?
Yeah. I guess there's a few lucky things that haven't. I work from home, so it's a lot easier. I'm not spending an hour or two commuting, so I'm always here. Another perk is she's 14. She doesn't need me much. You know, she needs me when she wants me. It's not like you need to go and take care of everything. Obviously, there's still lots to do, and ballet runs and boxing runs and all these great fun things, but she's not, you know, she's 14 and a girl. She loves being in a bedroom talking to a mate or whatever. So that's one. I've got a great fiance who helps with the business, obviously home life. For instance, now she's out walking the dogs because we're running late, and she was like, I'll take care of them. So I have quite a nice balanced life where we all make it work. And because I don't work in an office, I think literally in 3 hours time, she'll walk into here. She'll come home, she'll come outside, she'll come into, it's basically a big converted garage, and she'll have a chat for 10 minutes. And then in a few hours' time when I'm inside, we cross paths. So good team, good people, good family. I think just lucky.
Yeah, so well, I mean, it's probably what most people try and aspire to have, isn't it? It was where, like, your work and life sort of just merge into one seamless scenario, and it sounds like you've got a really good one there. Do you often take periods of time off for, say, like a holiday period? Like, just from experience of when I was sort of in three or four previously, which had staff and an office and things, I always struggled to take a set amount of time off with who then steers the ship. Do you have someone you trust to sort of keep things moving, especially with so many businesses?
To keep things moving to the standard as is, no. To keep it ticking, yes. It's kind of like the answer for that. Like, there's no one who could easily just step in and do everything I do, but in each area it could survive and does survive. I didn't have a holiday for 12 years prior to meeting them, and now I've had 5 since meeting them in, 3 years. And the longest holiday was 5 nights away. So we do shorter, like 3 to 5 night centre parks or 5 night trip or whatever. Last year, for example, I kind of surprised them with, they went to Australia for the first time mm-hmm. for 5 weeks. They've got family out there I've not seen for 10 years. I knew I could never go. So that was kind of one of those where you've got to just kind of have that gut check and be like, I can't make this one. They understood it's 5-6 yeah. weeks in Australia. It's not exactly a quick flight over. So you have to make a few sacrifices like that. I would have loved to have been with them, loved to have met their family, loved to have done all those things. But for right now, 5 nights is the sweet spot. I can go away for 5 nights. Nothing gets destroyed. And fingers crossed, one day that can be 2 weeks. But for now, 5 night trips are perfect.
Do you have any sort of plans for the next 12 months, 2 years, 3 years, in terms of where you're sort of, you plan for your business to go, whether I know you're engaged, whether you've got a wedding on the horizon or anything like that, changes to the family structure, anything like that?
I mean, in terms of changing the family, one thing, we're not going to have children. We're not planned to. We have a 14-year-old. We are turning 37. Yeah. We are kind of at that point where we're really happy with that. If it ever did happen, cool. I'm sure we'd love it and it'd be the best thing ever. But the plan is to not. Because everything works. We've got 4 dogs as well. So bringing a baby in would be hilarious. So in terms of that, no. In terms of the business, I'm growing it very aggressively. I think gymfluencers.com, like I say, there's 11 of them. I've got 5 active agencies, 6 where I'm a joint venture in, and I've got 9 more launching next month in different niches. So like Gymfluencers agency became Dogfluencers, Foodiefluencers, Travelfluencers, and then all the others. I'm launching Golisa today, which is a women's football site, free to use like Gymfluencers. And then we're doing product launches and acquiring product companies as well. So there's a lot going on, but everything is kind of system built and made to kind of plug into existing rather than to kill.
Can you talk any more about the product side of things? Obviously I've always been in the industry of selling product online. It'd be interesting to hear a little bit more about what your plans are there.
Yeah. So with obviously what I've built, it's, we've got the traffic, we've got the people, we've got the influencers. We do a lot of campaigns for brands and they work extremely well. And there's certain products that I am really interested in, not just gym stuff. There's a dog one launching, for example, something that I use a specific product on my dog and it worked really well. And I think there's a way to tweak it, make it better. And it's something I'm passionate about and want to do. And then in terms of acquiring companies, I work with a lot of brands and brands typically fail for 2 key reasons, many others, but they run out of money. So they can't do anything, or they lose the passion, and some are both. And so many great brands die because of it. And I don't want them to die. I don't want someone to lose all the money. So I'm basically saying I can come in, acquire, I can put the capital behind it, I can give mm-hmm. it the push across everything, and I'll pay you perpetuity for life. So if someone's getting just a couple of pounds a sale for a brand that was about to die, a little bit of cash forever, then they might actually recoup or profit rather than being like, there goes 200 grand, that's gone. So I'm trying to kind of do that, and I'm not just taking on any old product that doesn't work. But if it's a great product, a great brand, and it was just done maybe not right, or I have an idea, like I don't have the solution, mm-hmm. it's just ideas. If it fails, it might fail for me. But the idea is, because we've got this knowledge and this team, and
So I guess my next question is also hearing about all these sort of different ventures and ideas that you've got going on. How on earth do you split your time across it? Because I guess a lot of people in my current scenario where I've got a young child, it's splitting your time between the baby's needs and work needs. How do you juggle between all these sort of new ventures, new products, the existing businesses, and making sure that your eye isn't taken off the ball?
Yeah, I think what I've noticed is every time I launch something, something else takes a hit. For instance, socials for Gymfluencers are terrible, or the traffic on the US website went down, or whatever it might be. And for me, it's just building teams into it now, where it's like, anytime I move or do something and I see the issue area, then that's what gets plugged, because then every time we keep moving, I've got that person who knows to step in to do and to grow. In terms of my time, I don't know. I think my old job was so hard that I can probably do more output per day than's necessary, because I was so, like, the stress was insane. You're talking a 24/7 job with money involved that is scary to kind of balance in websites and agencies. So it's kind of like a bit of a, I was up here, now I'm kind of here, and it's fine. I can deal with it. But also, I think I'm a bit of a geek. I like developing systems. So the agency, for example, it was only created because I heard the issues of brands. So I'm working with brands as an affiliate. They're saying, we want to work with influencers, but they ghost us, they don't do it, the quality's crap, agencies are overcharging. But then I was talking to the influencers who were saying, brands ghost us, they don't pay enough, they want more, they need, you know. And I'm like, well, I'll just start something from day one which works. So like our system, for example, we're doing a massive launch for two very well-known brands collabing. Can't say name until Monday, but they were want to work with 400 influencers. It took us one day to do it, and it gets rolled out in 7 days. We can do that to kind of any level because of the system I created from day one. So that's kind of like the way, is really good systems that work really well from day one, rather than launching something competitive.
When you went through that sort of phase of training every single evening, losing the 15 stone, I've done sort of like a PT like coaching thing that I did for like 3 months, and I absolutely loved the accountability, the consistency that required to it, being told exactly the details and the system to get from A to B. Do you carry that over from the sort of the weight loss scenario into your business and building them systems that they cross over?
Yeah, I think it was interesting. So I walked into my personal trainer and I was very honest. I was like, if I get bored, this is game over. If I'm doing the same stuff every night, this is game over. But I did eat the same 3 meals every day for a year because it became a mentality. So with that, and I think with everything, is you just have to start. And that's how the system kind of develops for me, is no matter how big it looks, if you just get that first point of how to begin, and then you kind of like build those blocks of like how to begin, how to manage it, how to complete it. And then every time there's an issue, you just keep refining. Then that's how I kind of get to that point. And I think that's the same with the training. Sarah could see when things went right. Sarah could see when I was hurting. So, you know, she could see where I was. And you know, we took on a big risk together doing it, but I was going to die either way. You know, like, it was, I'd rather die trying than just being 30 stone and have another heart attack. So yeah, she was, I could tell when I was suffering that the workouts avoided that suffering in that area, for example. She could tell. So yeah, I just, that's probably the system of when something's suffering, you just do something to pad it out until the next day.
You just said there, have another heart attack. You had a heart attack prior to the... Yeah. Big news. We've decided to partner up with a charity called Winston's Wish. They were the first UK's child bereavement charity and have been supporting grieving children and young people for 30 years. The Diary of a Daddy-O would like to help them on their way in providing the much needed money to help provide specialist child bereavement support services across the UK. To donate, visit our Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/Diary of a Daddy-O, or click the link in our description below. Now back to the podcast.
Yeah, when I was 20, 2021, I had a mild, it went down as a mild heart trauma, so it wasn't officially a heart attack. I had to do the recovery of a heart attack for 4 years, the checkups and all of those things. It was a bit of an anomaly, but, you know, I was super obese. I was not sleeping. I was drinking 20 cans of Coke a day. I was eating crap. I was traveling. It was a very unhealthy lifestyle. And basically, I was driving one day and my eyes popped out my head, couldn't feel my feet. Hands went green. It was all quite a nasty shock. Being a stupid, pathetic guy that I was, I carried on driving. 10 minutes later, I went to the pub. I ordered a pint. I had a sip and I was like, I'm going to die here. So I drove myself to hospital. And
that's a hell of a story. That. Was there a shift in mentality at that point? Did you, when you thought, no?
Nah, getting another 5 stone the following 10 years.
It took literally a further scenario down the line to be like, something needs to change here. And it stemmed from that work-life balance you had.
Yeah. And it was funny, actually, because I was on somebody else about 4 months ago, and it was the first time I realised why I lost weight. And it was because of my niece and my mum and my sister. Very lucky to have a very good mum and sister. And I was playing with my niece, who was probably 7 at the time, and she was everything to me. Like, me and my niece, super close. And it tweaked me. I was like, what if I die? She's going to be so sad. Like, she's going to miss me. She's going to always be like, well, where's Jonathan gone? And I thought, like, I get hurt because I don't get to see her. She gets hurt because she doesn't get to see me. My mum will be, you know, like, I actually, for the first time, probably realised that there was some importance of me being here for my family. Like, there was some... Like, it hurt. It doesn't hurt me. Like, I always thought, if I die, well, when I die, I don't care. It's me. But then you realise, actually, it will hurt people. There'll be a cloud over something. So that was truly what made me think, you're 30 now. Get this sorted before you're not 40. I was told I was going to be dead by the time I was 35 from a life insurance doctor. And I'm now about 37.
Wow, mate. It's an inspiring story, mate. Every year is a win. I'm really, really happy you've shared it with us. One question that one of our previous guests asked, which I think might be good for you at this point, is you've got a 14-year-old stepdaughter. He said, how do you teach sort of children as they get older the power of money, the value of money? Like, how do you... His actual question was, as your child gets older, do you increase their pocket money as you would have a pay rise through every year? It goes up 10%, 8%, whatever it may be. Where's your stance on that? And if you were to have another child who was, say, 10 years old and you had one that was 14, would you have different levels of pocket money based on their age? Where do you stand on something like that?
So weirdly, she doesn't get pocket money. I don't know why. It's something we've done. Okay. She wants something that we think she should have. She gets it. If she's going out, we give her money. It's not really like managed like too strictly. I think maybe that's how I was raised. Possibly how my fiance was raised, but things were different back then, as you know. 20 years ago, it wasn't, you know, expensive Jordans or whatever. It was, here's £2.50 and you'd have the best weekend out ever with your mates. With her, I talk completely openly about money, not in the sense of we've got this, we're going to do that. If she wants to know what something costs or how much revenue the company's made or whatever, I tell her. She's seen my trading account. She's traded on McDonald's, you know, for example. She was interested. I hate the idea of spending lots of money on dumb things, but I'm all for spending plenty of money on great things. So holidays, I want her to go to the best hotels around the world and the best resorts and do the best things and go scuba diving and, you know, live abundance in that way. But then I'm not the person who wants her to go and spend £300 on a haircut or, you know, these things. So I try and balance it the best I can. I was very lucky. I grew up in quite a rich household as a kid. Things changed dramatically when I was 17. So I didn't have that from then. But when I was her age, I'd been, 4 holidays a year. You know, like, I was very... My dad's job included holidays, so we went to Spain twice and Centre Parks twice because his company ran the grocery, you know, businesses there. So we were always doing that. So yeah, in terms of money, it is kind of like everything's open but everything's honest. It's not like, here's £50, go and have the best day. It's all, you're off out with your mates, here's a tenner, get yourself lunch. Or, you know, you need that top, okay, we'll buy you that top. You need them trainers, here's a special treat. But it's all within, you know, it's not like willy-nilly. It's like, there has to be something to it, some thought. And don't get me wrong, when we can.
Well, obviously, with you being, I would say, a serial entrepreneur with all the businesses and the stuff you're doing, is that something that is of interest to your stepdaughter? Do you see her having like that intrigue about setting up businesses and how it works?
She's definitely intrigued. She asks a lot of questions and she gets really excited about certain things. But she is 14. I don't know if she'll do her own business. Okay. She's like thinking marine biology, stuff like that. You know, she's a thinker. Obviously, you can set your own company up doing marine biology or whatever, but when you're in that, it's not from day one. It's not 16, go buy and sell. It's like she wants to study and get to that point. But yeah, I've not seen anything in her where it's like she's going to start a business. She's going to be, you know, an entrepreneur or whatever. But that's fine. She might. She might not. It's not something I'd push her into. I've always said, you want to go do something, do it. She wanted to be a racing car driver because she did go-karting once. Cool. We'll train to be a racing car driver. Oh, you want to be a ballet dancer? Cool. We'll be. I just want, if she wants to try something, we'll try it until she doesn't.
Wow. Marine biology. It'd be a good path to go down, for sure. Is your fiance involved in any of your businesses, or has she got her own career?
Yeah. So we met and she was working in licensing for the council. She walked away from that when we met, and then basically just helping me throughout. And then in the last 6 months, she's launched her own like travel website, you know, travel blogging. She's really loves travel. So yeah, she's sort of working in there and then just helped me launch Travelfluencers, which is the travel influencer agency. It uses the same systems and techniques as Gymfluencers and all the others do. And then, yeah, she was like, well, why don't we do it for travel? Nobody's doing it for travel. I was like, well, this is great. you know travel, you know travel people, you know travel companies. So, yeah, we launched that, and she kind of takes control of that one, which is great, because ideally I'm going to have, 15 agencies by the end of the next month. Mm-hmm. If there was one person running each one with a passion for it, whether it's beauty, fashion, travel, food, dogs, then that's how it wins, yeah. I think, because I launched Gymfluencers because I had a passion for it. I don't think I could have that same passion for beauty or, you know, skincare products or whatever it might be. So, yeah, she helps, and she's probably the only woman in the world who could move into, you know, this kind of like cushy thing of me with a good job, and a bit of money in the bank, and then me saying, by the way, the car's gonna go because it's a company car, and the money's gonna go, and we're gonna start this free to use website that might make money.
She's on your side, mate. Okay. She's a woman's day today, and she sounds like a good one, mate, to support you and be there for you. So, yeah, congratulations for that as well. Yeah. Next up is Dadfluencers. I think it's got to be get that on the cards.
Yeah. Do you know what, man? Tough world. Like,
really,
men make 4%. Up 4% of influencers worldwide. There's not many, and it's few and far between. I always say, if you're a guy and you can put a bit of effort into a bit of filming and editing, the world is yours. You know, if you can just connect with brands, showcase brands, show good editing. I mean, one of the lads we work with, he's got 1,000 followers, and he's making plenty of money because he creates great content. You know, because there isn't much competition, but he's great. So if you're great in a place where there isn't much competition, you're going to win, and you know.
That is incredible. 4%.
Making loads of money and getting loads of gifts. I think it's probably bits and pieces
with like TikTok Shop, and like we were looking, because obviously 304, one of the main brands here is men's and women's, and menswear brands on TikTok Shop are non-existent. Again, it's just so heavily dominated by female.
Yeah. But also, females sell better to men than men sell to men. So that's the other issue. It's one of those things, and especially we work with a very famous shower gel company who only sell to men, and they only use women. You know, they use 400 women rather than a single man.
Yeah,
and it is because buy this for your partner. That was the line it was taken, and it worked. It's a really weird one where it's like guys are needed. Some companies are desperate for them, but there's few and far between.
That's one of the main reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, Diary of a Daddy-O, is because I remember sitting in like the maternity wards and hospitals and stuff, and seeing that, like, the apps that you can download to try and learn about what happens with the babies and things like that. And there's antenatal classes that predominantly the wife would go to because they're the one having the baby. And I was like, who do I speak to from a male perspective to another male? Because you can speak to your wife or your partner all you want, but they are going through a completely different experience to what you're going through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You should be able to find a resource that suits
you. It didn't seem, obviously, since I've started it, I've seen that there is other stuff out there, and there's more podcasts like this, and there's more social accounts that do help dads. But at the time, I couldn't find anything, and it was just voice notes to friends that had kids, and you were asking advice and stuff. And I was like, well, yeah, pretty much. And then I thought, well, if you're speaking to someone on a voice note, why would you then not just use the experience of broadcasting it to a wider audience, and then hopefully people pick it up?
100%. You know what? Like, you can even like just think of random things. Like, I've not just to do with men, women, or whatever it is. If people search for something specific, and you'll see like, you know, how to attach the head of a Kärcher, and it's a crap video, but they're attaching the head of a Kärcher, and you watch it because that's what you search for, and that's what you want to see, and it gave you the value. So it's that point again. Is like, there will be men out there searching men explaining having a baby, whatever it might be. It's just always having someone there to kind of connect with that, even if it's a minority, even if it's whatever. It's if, you know, one person searching it, you can probably bet everyone's wanting to search it or will search it as well. So, yeah, you've got to have content out there that kind of suits anybody and anyone looking. And that's kind of how you build the massive viewerships, I think, is I think as men as well, we know what we're searching for. Like, if I'm 36 and I'm having a baby, there's probably a million things like in my mind. Every man's got that, you know. Every woman who's thinking, you know, like we all think the same. So it's just making sure someone delivers it who we can kind of
to sort of finish up and round off the podcast. I usually would say, like, what is your advice to a new dad coming up, or one sort of like hack in terms of like balancing life and work? I'll give you the same question, but if you want to tailor it more towards balancing work or having an older child, feel free. But just what advice would you give to a dad out there that's trying to balance work and life, or maybe start a new business and fatherhood?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, like I said, I got lucky because, you know, stepdad, she was 11, she's now 14, got a fiance, worked from home. So I think for me, it all kind of fell into this thing of there was less pressure on me. I can't ever relate to someone who is struggling and having a baby, or is, you know, in a job that's miles away and got a kid. It's a really different one. But for me, it was just including them in it, not sitting at the dinner table and saying, listen to what I did today at work. It was just, this office door's open. She wants to walk in now. She wants to walk in at 7 in the morning. She wants to walk in anywhere she can. And I'm just completely open and transparent with her. And I love what I do. I think that's the other lucky thing I have, is I'm never miserable walking inside. And I think that's probably where most will struggle, where it's like, and that's why I quit the old job, because it's like, she's going to see a really miserable stepdad. She's going to see, not understand why I'm miserable because I've got money, because when you're a kid, that's how you think. Then she's never going to, she'll be so confused with it. Whereas now it's like super happy, you know, like, so I think for me, it was just, I got lucky where, love what I did, had the right kind of age and setup. So in terms of advice, not the one. There's people out there, and honestly, like yesterday I had a meeting with a sales manager for a very big company. He's just had a baby. He's going to the gym, he's cooking, he's cleaning, he's working, and I'm like, how? that's the guy to give that advice for mine.
Yeah, I mean, it's still very good advice, but if you're happy around the household, it'll bleed into your kids, and you don't want to have negative energy around, no matter what age the child is, really. So I think it still rings true to everyone. Just try and be as happy as possible and fine.
Yeah, it's hard to bring work home when you're unhappy, because then it's easy to bring work home when you're the happiest person and things are going well. But yeah, not so. If you walk in and you're miserable, then
absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today, mate. I will put all the links in the bios for you, for all your businesses, all the influencer marketing agencies and things like that. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us, really, and being so open.
Thank you for doing it. It takes someone, you know, a lot of effort to just set up a podcast. You know, for people it might seem like an easy thing to do, but you've got to book people, talk to people, edit things, upload things, add links to things. So yeah, thanks.
Well,
for
I appreciate that as well, mate. And yeah, enjoy your weekend. And this episode will be going out on Monday. So yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, mate. Cheers. Bye bye.
Looking forward to it. Have a great weekend, mate.
A work-life balance, hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in there, dear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o.